RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Papua must be a land of peace. 2014 Indonesian Democracy Index increase. President Joko Widodo appreciates Regional Representatives Council performance. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I am Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the riot occurred in the district Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua, some time ago, should not happen anymore. President Joko Widodo, when delivering the state address at the annual session of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, at the Parliament Building on Friday, said that the government is giving special attention to Papua to realize peace in the region.
Selain itu, melalui forum ini, terbuka ruang bagi saya.
Through this forum, the opportunity is open for me to invite state institutions to build cohesiveness in order to strengthen the presidential system of government. I understand that any state agencies have their respective roles in accordance with the Constitution. Therefore, the cohesiveness of the state institutions is needed to realize the promise of independence as mentioned in the preamble of the 1945 Constitutions.
Bagaimana termaktub dalam pembukaan Undang-Undang Dasar 1945.
President Joko Widodo added, the government is also committed to protecting indigenous people who are facing agrarian conflicts, reduce carbon emissions by stopping forest fires, and sustainable forest management. The government also intends to protect fishermen from foreign fish thieves, to protect future generations of the danger of drugs, and to form a reconciliation committee for serious human rights violations. Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, yesterday announced the latest data on Indonesian Democracy Index 2014, compiled by the Central Bureau of Statistics in cooperation with the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, National Development Planning Agency, and the Ministry of Interior, as well as the United Nations Development Programme. According to Sharif Hidayat, an expert of the Indonesian Democracy Index team, in 2014, Indonesia's Democracy Index reached 73.04, up nearly 10 points over the previous year.
Kalau kita melihat secara kuantitas, memang ini perlu kita rayakan, terjadi peningkatan dari angka 63,72.
If we see it in terms of quantity, we should celebrate because there is an increase from 63.72 in 2013 to 73.04 in 2014. A 9.33 or approaching 10-point increase. That's quantitative. Quantitatively, using a scale of fewer than 60 is bad. Between 60 to 80, moderate. More than 80, good. There was an increase of 9.33 points to 73.04. It remains the same category, moderate.
Sebesar 9,33 poin dan angka mencapai 73,04, dia tetap pada kategori yang sama, tetap pada kategori sedang.
Sharif added that an increase in the Indonesian Democracy Index assured that Indonesia's democratic transition process goes forward. He said that Indonesia still needs a long journey to reach substantive democracy. Meanwhile, head of Central Bureau of Statistics Suryamin said that increase in the index democracy is influenced by changes in three aspects of democracy, namely civil liberties, political rights, and democratic institutions. Indonesian Democracy Index aims at providing a statistical overview of political democracy development in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo, in his official speech on Friday, August 14, said that the allocation of regional revenue and expenditure is increasingly focused on regional development. It is not separated from the role of the Regional Representative Council as the conveyor of aspirations and interests of the region. According to President Joko Widodo, our Regional Representative Council has done its role well. President Joko Widodo further appreciates the enactment of several laws such as the Law No. 32/2014 concerning maritime, Law No. 13/2012 on the privilege of Yogyakarta, which is an initiative of the Regional Representative Council of the Republic of Indonesia. Similarly, the law concerning the archipelago, which has become the national legislation program in 2015, is also the initiation of the Regional Representatives Council. Besides, President Joko Widodo praised the Regional Representative Council that has actively encouraged bilateral and multilateral cooperation. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Law No. 32/2014 on maritime affairs is the basis for the implementation of the World Maritime Access Concept declared by President Joko Widodo. This was said by Regional Representative Council DPD Chairman Irman Guzman during the joint plenary session of the DPD and the House of Representatives DPR ahead of the 70th anniversary of Indonesia's Independence Day in Jakarta on Friday. Guzman noted that the focus of maritime affairs is in line with the view of an oceanographer who said that Indonesia needs to grasp the resources of land and turning to the marine sector as a source of food and life in Indonesia. The DPD chairman said he had drawn up a bill related to the archipelago insight that is ready to be submitted to Parliament. Previously, the newly installed Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Environment, Rijal Ramli, was asked to overcome the ego sectoral in realizing various development programs in the maritime and fisheries sectors by ensuring that there is no technical ministry to dominate. Religious harmony problems in the country should be considered by various parties to strengthen the national motto of unity in diversity, or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. This was affirmed by Chairman of Regional Representatives Council DPD Irman Guzman when opening the joint meeting of the House of Representatives DPR and Regional Representatives Council DPD in Jakarta on Friday. According to Guzman, Indonesian people should ensure unity is a bid to avoid interference both inside and outside the country, which undermines the harmony of the nation. Therefore, Indonesian people should strengthen the national motto, Unity in Diversity, or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, by fostering a sense of tolerance. Earlier, Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Zulkifli Hasan, said, Indonesia must rely on the development of good quality human resources. Zulkifli Hasan said when opening the annual plenary meeting of the People's Consultative Assembly in Jakarta on Friday. In the 1980s, Indonesia relied on natural resources such as crude oil and wood. As a result, the forest areas were damaged, which led to landslides and floods. while the foreign exchange which was earned from the export of natural resources did not restore its impact. In the 1990s, Indonesia still relied on the export of raw natural resources commodities such as petroleum, coal, and other minerals. At the beginning of 31st August to 19 September 2015, Indonesians will share experiences, techniques, and knowledge in the development of agriculture and livestock with minimal waste. It was part of Committee for Economic and Commercial Cooperation of the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation, COMCAC, a vigil of Directorate of Technique of Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Nurjana, in Cairo, Egypt, on Thursday afternoon, local time, said Indonesia is committed to helping, especially developing member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, in empowering the community, so that it can improve the economy and the income of citizens of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. One of the cooperations is the Integrated Agricultural Training, which will be held in Batur, Malang, East Java. The plan will be followed by farmers and agricultural instructors from Egypt, Sudan, and Gambia. Each country will send three representatives. According to Nurjana, so far, Foreign Ministry since the 80s has concentrated in human capacity building with various programs for friendly countries.
Kalau Kemenlu sendiri itu sudah dari
Certainly, 2006, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry itself has been from 2006. So Directorate Technical Cooperation was established in 2006. Then we have conducted more than 65 capacity building programs in various fields. One of them is agriculture. In this training program, the Foreign Ministry is cooperating with Ministry of Agriculture as a facilitator and a training ground. An official from Livestock Training Institute in Batu, Malang, East Java, Bambang Indi Santoso, said during 20 days, participants will join the practice, exchange of information, and experience. Well, listener, that was the news.
Judulnya Yuan Devaluation and World's Economic Slowdown. Listener, welcome back to Commentary. Today's edition will feature about Yuan Devaluation and World's Economic Slowdown. The world's current economic slowdown was marked by surprises done by China. Over this week, Chinese financial authority has devalued its currency, Yuan, as many as three times, starting from Tuesday, Wednesday to Thursday, or August 13th, 2015. International Monetary Fund, or IMF, responded to this as a new way of determining the exchange rate of yuan. On Tuesday, IMF considered the devaluation of the yuan as a way towards liberalizing its currency. For Beijing, the devaluation is aimed at boosting Chinese exports. On Tuesday, the exchange rate of yuan was traded at 6,229 per 1 US dollar from 6,116 yuan per 1 dollar before. On Wednesday, the value of yuan was lowered around 6,330 per 1 dollar. Finally, on Thursday, the value of yuan was traded at 6,401 per 1 US dollar. This policy poses shocks, since China devalued its yuan against the US dollar only. There was something unusual with this monetary policy, because China is experiencing a trade surplus with its partner. So far, the US government has not commented on the Chinese monetary policy. However, the policy was causing panic in the US markets. Shares of some companies that have a large dependence on China plunged on Wall Street, so Chinese financial authority carried out devaluation of yuan on Tuesday. What was done by the Chinese to lower the value of yuan against the US dollar is the anticipation of the world economic slowdown. It's worried that the economic slowdown will decrease the growth of Chinese exports to the world markets. So, this is a response to the world economic outlook by the World Bank at the beginning of 2015, which estimated the USA to grow about 3%. Meanwhile, India and China are predicted to grow positive, reaching 7%, and Russia is predicted to grow under 1%. International Monetary Fund, or IMF, in its report World Economic Outlook Update for July edition estimates that the world economic growth will only reach 3.3%. the figure is lower than the one predicted in April, namely 3.5%. The growth projection is still based on the US economic growth, which does not increase in 2015. Meanwhile, Euro begins to grow, though it's still burdened with the problem of Greece. Asia is the motor engine of world growth, on which Japan begins to grow more than 1%. How is Southeast Asia towards the enforcement of ASEAN Economic Community? With such economic slowdown, countries in the region must increasingly cooperate to address the sluggish economy, so that they do not plunge into the economic crisis in their respective country. That was Commentary Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from August 14, 1945, Japan surrenders to the Allies. On August 14, 1945, Japan announcing their surrender unconditionally to the Allied forces and effectively ended the World War II in the Pacific area. The Japanese submission to the Allied forces since the United States dropped the atomic bomb to Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6 and 9, which killed nearly 200,000 Japanese. Since then, August 14 and August 15 has been known as Victory Day over Japan. On August 14, 1947, Pakistan separates itself from India. On August 14, 1947, Pakistan separated itself from India and announced its independence. Previously, since the 8th century, Islam entering to India and part of the current region of Pakistan, before finally Britain mastering India at the end of the 18th century. Along with the awakening of Indian struggle against the British Kingdom, then it was built Muslim League Party in 1906, led by Muhammad Ali Jinnah. The establishment of the party was aimed to build an Islamic government. The party then gradually can invite the strength of Muslim, and finally the state of Pakistan was built. Originally, Pakistan consisted of two separate regions, Eastern and Western India. However, due to dissatisfaction of South Pakistan people toward the central government, finally, the South Pakistan seceded and formed the State of Bangladesh in 1971. On August 14, 1950, is an event of the anniversary of South Kalimantan. On August 14, 1950, it was built Kalimantan Province after dissolution of Republic in Indonesia Serikat, or RIS, or the United States of Republic of Indonesia, chaired by Governor Dr. Muriani. The province has 11 regencies and 2 cities. The South Kalimantan area, in the past, was part of 3 large kingdoms, namely Daha Kingdom, Dipa Kingdom, and Banjar Sultanate. Major population in South Kalimantan is Banjar ethnic, which consisted of 3 groups, namely Banjar Kuala, Banjar Pahuluan, and Banjar Batang Banyu. Besides, there also existed Javanese ethnic, Madura and Sunda, who come to the place as transmigrants. In Tanah Bumbu and Kota Baru coastal area also inhabited Bugis ethnic and Mandar from Sulawesi. Dayak ethnic in South Kalimantan inhabited Meratus mountainous area, namely Dayak Bukit, and Barito River Bank, namely Dayak Bakumpai. Other ethnic groups in South Kalimantan, namely Arabic descent in Banjarmasin and Martapura, Chinese descent in Pecinan area in Banjarmasin City, and Sungai Parit at Playhari. They called Cina Parit. On August 14, 1980, massive strikes in Gdansk. Around 17,000 workers at Gdansk shipyard conducted massive strikes after the discharge of an harbor worker, member of Independence Worker Union. The issue then spread to the whole Poland from the social crisis to become political crisis. The impact of the crisis caused Prime Minister of Poland Edward Bobik resigned from his post. The communist government finally negotiated with Lech Walesa, the leader of the Independence Worker Union, who was known as Solidarity Fighting Leader. Lech Walesa, then installed as the first civilian president in Poland after the fall of communist government. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today's edition entitled President Joko Widodo inaugurates six new ministers of working cabinet. President Joko Widodo, Wednesday afternoon, inaugurated six new ministers of working cabinet at the State Palace, Jakarta. The six new ministers are Darmin Nasution as Coordinating Minister for Economy, Rizal Ramli as Coordinating Minister for Maritime, Thomas Lembong as Trade Minister, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan as Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Sofyan Jalil as National Development Planning Minister, Bappenas Head, and Pramono Anung as Cabinet Secretary. The inauguration process began with the recitation of Presidential Decree on Honorable Discharge and inauguration of the ministers. The six new ministers are regulated in the Presidential Decree number 79/P 2015 on the replacement of several 2014-2019 working cabinet ministers and Presidential Decree number 18/P 2015 on the same thing for the cabinet secretary. After he was inaugurated, Darmin Nasution conveyed some of his work priorities. He would focus on anticipating the drought, including preventing the beef price hike and inflation surge. The next priority is fiscal management, especially the revenues and expenditures management for the state budget, APBN. Investment is also concerned by the former Bank Indonesia governor. According to Darmin, the weakening of rupiah was caused by the low capital inflow. Although setting no target, he guaranteed that the economy will grow in the third and fourth quarter. State Secretary Minister Pratikno said, cabinet reshuffle by President Joko Widodo on Wednesday toward five ministers and the cabinet secretary had to be done due to the dynamics in national and global level, especially in the economic sector that need quick response from the government. Pratikno told the journalists after the inauguration in the State Palace, Jakarta, Wednesday, August 12, President needs an innovation in accelerating the cabinet's performances. According to Pratikno, the point is the condition urges the right person for the right needs. The cabinet reshuffle, according to Pratikno, is expected to accelerate the government's pace in overcoming the sluggish economy. Meanwhile, the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly MPR Chairman Zulkifli Hasan assumed that the reshuffle convinced the public that the working cabinet of 2014-2019 period is fulfilled with the right people. He said reshuffle will be observed of the businessmen and investors as a strong government supported by the United Political Party. Zulkifli added, the reshuffle is president's prerogatives and a right movement because it must be done every 10 months or 1 year of the cabinet period. The head of Economy Studies Center of Gajah Mada University, Tony Prasetyantono, was confident that the economic ministers from the reshuffle can build better economic foundation. He further said, the new economic team is welcomed positively by many circles of people. The most interesting composition is the senior economy duo as coordinating ministers. However, the trigger of Indonesia's sluggish economy came from outside of the country. Therefore, Tony said, no matter who the minister is, the sluggishness will always happen. He reminded the government not to rush in achieving the self-sufficiency because without strong foundation, the self-sufficiency as the indicator of economic improvement can cause shortages, triggering price hike. That was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Friday, August 14, 2015. We start with Kompas. The newspaper in its headline writes, a grid strategy should be prepared by the government. The day after the cabinet reshuffle, the Composite Stock Price Index, CSPI, rose from the previous decline. But the government must prepare a plan and grid strategy, especially in anticipation of future economic challenges. On Thursday, the index closed 104.76 points to 4,584.25. However, the increase in this index has not been enough to offset the decline at 3.1% plunge Wednesday. Media Indonesia, in its headlines, writes, guarded economic fundamentals. In the face of global economic pressure, one of which is reflected in the weakening of the rupiah, the government and Bank Indonesia has agreed to safeguard economic fundamentals. It was agreed in the meeting of coordination of the Financial System Stability Forum, which was attended, among other, by Darmin Nasution, the Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo, Minister of Finance, sat on Thursday. According to Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo, to keep the economic fundamentals, the central bank should ensure its presence in the market. While Republika newspaper writes, new coordinating minister speed up its moves. A number of new ministers who were sworn in by President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, August 12, immediately start working on Thursday. They expressed the steps to fix the slumped national economy. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution directly attend Financial System Stability Coordination Forum, FKSSK, on Thursday. On the occasion, Nasution told the Finance System Stability Coordination Forum for more in discussing the real sector, not only about macro policy. Koran Sindo, in its headlines, writes, businesses wait the breakthrough of new ministers. Businesses really hope the government can encourage the growth of the national economy. They ask the new ministers to immediately take concrete move to face the global economic slowdown. Chairman of the Indonesian Employers Association, APindo, Sinta Kamdani, said some ministers are aimed at improving the performance of the government, but it is not the answer to everything. According to Sinta, there is much work that remains to be done by the government. We end headlines with Business Indonesia. The newspaper writes, the draft of state budget prepared in semi-expansive. The government is preparing the draft budget revenue and expenditure 2016 in semi-expansive to move the economy and to come out of the economic slowdown. Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Darmin Nasution, said the focus of the current government
is using fiscal as a stimulus for the economy. According to him, the economic slowdown makes the government obliged to expand. Well, listener, that was today's headlines of several national newspapers published in Jakarta today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the riot occurred in the district Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua, some time ago, should not happen anymore. President Joko Widodo, when delivering the state address at the annual session of the People's Consultative Assembly at the Parliament Building on Friday, said the government is giving special attention to Papua to realize peace in the region. Central Bureau of Statistics yesterday announced the latest data on Indonesian Democracy Index 2014 compiled from the Central Bureau of Statistics in cooperation with the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, National Development Planning Agency, and the Ministry of Interior, as well as the United Nations Development Program. According to Sarif Hidayat, expert on the Indonesian Democracy Index team, in 2014, Indonesian Democracy Index reached 73.04, up nearly 10 points over the previous year. President Joko Widodo, in his official speech on Friday, August 14, said that the allocation of regional revenue and expenditure is increasingly focused on regional development. Religious harmony problems in the country should be considered by various parties to strengthen the national motto of unity in diversity. This was affirmed by Chairman of Regional Representatives Council, Irman Guzman, when opening the joint meeting of the House of Representatives and a Regional Representatives Council in Jakarta on Friday. At the beginning of 31st August to 19th September, Indonesians will share experiences, techniques and knowledge in the development of agriculture and livestock with minimal waste. It was part of Committee for Economic and Commercial Cooperation of the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to West Java Province to visit Linggarjati Museum, so stay tuned. Linggarjati is the name of a village in Cilimus sub-district Kuningan, which is located at the foot of Mount Ciremai between the towns of Cirebon and Kuningan in West Java Province. In the Cool Air village, there is a building formerly used as Linggarjati negotiations in 1946. the function of the building has been switched to become a heritage building in accordance with Law No. 5 of 1992, as it was a witness to the struggle of Indonesia in diplomacy to achieve the independence of Indonesia. This result is in the form of diplomacy, Linggarjati Agreement, to end the dispute between the Indonesian government and the Dutch government at that time. Linggarjati Museum is located 14 kilometers from the town of Kuningan, West Java. It lies right in front of the highway, makes it easier to access. The old building now stands on an area of around 24,500 square meters, with a building area of about 1,800 square meters, surrounded by a beautiful garden. In the Linggarjati courtyard, there is a memorial of Linggarjati Negotiations Museum. The monument, which is nearly 3 meters, consists of three parts, namely the base of the monument, the body of the monument, and the top part of the monument. In the body of the monument, there is a painting of a shake hands between the Indonesian delegation and the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Just below it, there are the main points of the contents of Linggarjati Agreement. Being at the top, there is a black stone with a painting of five pillars of Indonesian society, namely farmers, clergy, women, soldiers, and youth, in each other as a manifestation of the main strengths of the Indonesian nation. The museum building consists of several rooms: the living room, bedroom, bathroom, and a back room. The living room was used as a space for lobbying and informal meetings. In this room, there is a picture of the atmosphere of Linggarjati negotiations in large glass cases as high as almost 2 meters. There are also tables and statues negotiating delegation from Indonesia and the Kingdom of the Netherlands, who were sitting and facing each other. In addition, there are also photographs depicting the current environment. The living room is the main room where the Linggarjati Agreement was agreed. It turns out the chair position occupied by the members of the negotiations, which were still the same as it used when the negotiation took place. Indeed, the room and all the furniture in the building that have been restored since 1976 meet such that the data and services to the same extent possible as in 1946, when the negotiations carried out. The building also includes the room where Lord Kildern, mediators from the Netherlands in Linggarjati negotiations, stayed temporarily. In addition to Lord Kildern's room, also contain the room where the Indonesian government delegation and the delegation of the Netherlands live, complete with furniture. Before it becomes a Linggarjati Negotiation Museum, this building used to be a hovel owned by Mrs. Jasitem, that in 1921, by a Dutch named Tersana, it was renovated into a semi-permanent home. From 1930 to 1935, after it was purchased by Van Osdom, it was renovated into the residence as it is now. Then in 1935 to 1946, it was contracted by Heiker and made hotel named Rustort. In the days of the Japanese occupation, the hotel changed its name to Hotel Hokai Ryokan. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence in 1945, the hotel was named Hotel Merdeka. The building then turned into museum and later restored by the Indonesian government in 1976 and served as cultural heritage buildings and historical attractions as well. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Linggarjati Museum. And we will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with Mirahma. Today's edition presents you the National Scout Day. The history of Scout in Indonesia is inseparable from the history of the Independence Day of Indonesia. The idea of Lord Baden-Powell, who formed Scout, spread fast to various countries, including the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, Scout is called Padvinder. In its colonies, including Indonesia, the Netherlands established Scout organizations. In Indonesia, it was called NIPV, which stands for Nederland Indische Padvinder Vereniging, or the Dutch Scouts Union. This organization was only for Dutch children. Therefore, the Indonesian National Movement figures formed a Scout organization to create good Indonesian people who become the national movement cadres. Therefore, more than 100 native scout organizations emerged. In 2015, the Indonesian Scout Movement, or locally known as Pramuka, has entered its 54th year. The theme of the 54th anniversary of Scout Movement is Pramuka, the frontline in shaping youth's character. The theme emphasizes character molding of youth. Scout Movement, or Pramuka Day, is commemorated every August 14. The date is chosen based on the history of Scout in Indonesia. Exactly on that date, 54 years ago, in 1961, the then Indonesian President Sukarno presented the banners of Scout or Pramuka movement, continued with introduction of Pramuka to people. It was participated in by around 10,000 Scouts in Jakarta. To enliven the 54th anniversary of Pramuka Day, Kuartir, or organization which manages Pramuka in Pacitan, East Java, holds various agenda for Pramuka activists in Pacitan Regency. The event included blood donor on Thursday, August 13, in Kuartir Pacitan. Other events included Super Cheap Bazaar on Wednesday and Thursday, and Pioneering Scout Fair on Thursday at Pacitan Square. The participants were junior high school and senior high school students in Pacitan Regency. The peak celebration of 54th anniversary of Pramuka Day is a ceremony in the yard of Hall King Pandopo of the Regency. Through Pramuka, the Indonesian young generation is expected to build Indonesia in a knightly way. Well, VOA listener, that ends today's miscellany on the National Scout or Pramuka Day. I'm Rama. Thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me Rahma in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a dangdut singer, Mary Andani. To begin the program, here is a song by Mary Andani entitled Cintaku Padamu or My Love for You. Enjoy. Listener, Mary Andani was born in Bandung, West Java, November 1, 1969. Mary Andani began her career as a singer who sang Dangdut Mandarin, or Dangdut which is influenced by Chinese song. With soft vocal character, Mary's songs are acceptable, quiet fuss. Her success is inseparable from an Indonesian noted musician, the late Jeffrey Bule. Jeffrey found Mary's talent so that he composed songs for Mary Andani, including Pelabuhan Hati, Daun Kering Bersemi Lagi, Di Batas Kota, and many others, including this one, Dinding Pemisah, a song by Mary Andani. So happy listening. Listener, in 1994, under HP Records, Mary Andani joined a group HP Girls consisting of Anis Marcella, Baby Ayu, Mary Andani, and Nini Carlina. With Jeffrey Bule as music director and Dul Sumbang as the song composer, HP Girls released an album, Anak Mama, with the hit single of the same title. Besides HP Girls, Mary also joined Trio FAM, comprising Farid Harja, Anis Marcella, Mary Andani, and Trio BAM, Baby Ayu, Anis Marcella, and Mary Andani. Well, listener, that's a glimpse of a dangdut singer, Mary Andani. To close the program, we present you two songs by Mary Andani entitled Prahara Cinta and Bunga Cintaku. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
You
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.